Elections in Tamil Nadu are over and Kerala is going to polls on the 26th or 3 days from now. We don't know how the people in Tamil Nadu have voted and how those in Kerala will vote. But we can certainly talk about the political discourse in these states, especially in the context of the BJP. We may agree or disagree, but the fact is that the BJP has somehow dominated the electoral discourse in these states. I spent over a week in Tamil Nadu and Kerala, and I'm going to share my takeaways from these states in this episode of Politically Correct. In the process, I'll also be sharing my experiences on the campaign trail. I'll be focusing more on Kerala because people are yet to vote there. So I'm going to start with my arrival in Kochi. There is one thing that political reporters can't stop themselves from doing. That is picking the taxi driver's brain right after they board the taxi at the airport or the railway station. My driver in Kochi was a delight. He needed no prompting to open up. He was telling me, neither the communists nor the Congress is good for Kerala. They, the Pinarayi Vijayan-led government, did not give pension for 7 months. Now they have released it for 2 months. They have imposed a 2 rupee cess on petrol. And the driver went on and on with his complaints about the government. And then he says, please don't mind, but maybe the BJP will do a better job. And he told me, in fact, turning back to check out my reaction, my fellow traveler, a Kochi-based journalist, poked me to ask if the driver was a Nayar. I didn't ask. I mean, why bring caste into the perceived misgovernance of God's own country by the communists? Kochi-Thrissur streets were full of unflattering stories about Vijayan's governance, or the lack of it. A day before coming to Kochi, I had spent quite some time with students at two colleges in Coimbatore. The PSG College of Arts and Science and the Hindustan College of Arts and Science in Coimbatore. They were not much into any ideology. They did not have any particular issue with the government of the day, led by Stalin. Before that, earlier in Chennai, I had visited the office of PEN, or Populist Empowerment Network, the in-house strategic firm of the DMK, which is owned by Stalin's son-in-law, Sabarishan. A senior PEN functionary told me that the Sanatan controversy had helped the DMK as it revived interest in Dravidianism that was waning, as he said. When I asked students in Coimbatore what they understood by Dravidianism, they just shrugged, I mean, basically saying who the heck cares. They gave a similar response to my questions about Hindutva and the BJP too. So, what are you going to do on the polling day? I asked them. Many of them said, Nota. Outside a college gate in Coimbatore, I came across Meenakshi, who teaches economics at another college. She said she was a Jayalalitha voter, but would vote for the DMK this time, because Jayalalitha is no more. The AIADMK losing many women voters after Jayalalitha's death is a different story, of course. I asked Meenakshi, what about K. Annamalai, the BJP candidate in Coimbatore? Her reply was, Modi is talking good things, but the BJP is not here in Tamil Nadu. That brings us to the first of at least 7 regions that have hampered the BJP's march into Tamil Nadu and Kerala, and also Andhra Pradesh too, for that matter. Many may be looking for a third alternative in the DMK-AIADMK dominated Tamil Nadu and the LDF-UDF dominated Kerala, but they don't see the BJP as an alternative yet. The second reason hampering the BJP's southern march is its image as a Brahmin upper caste party there. Please bear with me as I talk a bit more on this issue. Travel around Tamil Nadu in the Nilgiris, Coimbatore, Chennai, where I went, non-BJP politicians were dismissive of the BJP and yet circumspect. Their usual refrain was, we will see on the 4th of June when the results are out. I was just thinking, why this diffidence? It was not because the BJP's Hindutva ideology is changing Tamil Nadu political lexicon. Not because they saw Modi's popularity propelling Hindutva to a level where it could challenge the domination of Dravidianism. not at this stage at least. They were diffident because they were not sure how Modi's persona and developmental pitch would boost the BJP's decade-long effort to break its image as a Brahmin party through assiduously built social coalitions. A former telecom minister and DMK leader, DMK deputy general secretary, in fact, A. Raja, told me in Nilgiris, your problem is, I mean, that is the BJP's problem is, that you don't want 3% to rule, but we are fighting for 97%. Upper castes constitute around 3% of Tamil Nadu population, and that was what he was referring to. That's how the Dravidian parties project the BJP. That was the reason the BJP could not expand its footprint in the southern state, even though RSS had established its first shakha in Kanyakumari way back in 1948. It has not done much for the BJP beyond Kanyakumari and Coimbatore. And there was a reason why the BJP gained roots in these two places, in Coimbatore and Kanyakumari. It won in Coimbatore in 1998 and 99 Lok Sabha elections, but that was following serial bomb blasts in Coimbatore in February 1998. You may recall these blasts, these blasts were in retaliation for the riots in a few weeks ago, in which at least 18 Muslims were killed. And the riots were triggered by the murder of a police constable, allegedly by an Islamist group. The BJP never won the Coimbatore seat after 1999, basically showing that the party's rise there was not organic. One has to see if Annamalai, with his popular appeal, can change it now. He is the BJP candidate in Coimbatore now. The BJP emerged as a force to reckon with in Kanyakumari after the 1982 Hindu-Christian riots. Both communities are almost equal numerically. It won its first assembly election in the state in 1996 from Padmanabhapuram constituency in Kanyakumari and won the Lok Sabha seat in 2014. But the Hindutva sentiments haven't taken root beyond these two constituencies in Tamil Nadu. A key DMK strategist in Chennai told me that it's a misconception that the BJP is rising in Tamil Nadu because of Hindutva or Modi. It's all about their focus on cultivating different castes and sub-castes through their own efforts as also through alliances. That was what the DMK functionary was telling me. Annamalai is a gounder. His predecessor, L. Murugan, was a Dalit. Before Murugan, it was Tamil Sai Sondarajan, a Hindu Nadar, whose predecessor, Pon Radhakrishnan, again was a Nadar, Hindu Nadar. Modi also went about empowering each of them, each of these presidents. Radhakrishnan and Murugan became ministers in the Modi government, while Sondarajan became a governor. No, she's not a governor, of course, as you know, she contested the election from South Chennai seat. The BJP expects that with an OBC prime minister becoming the party's face, these efforts to promote and empower OBC and MBC leaders should help it break its image of a Brahmin party in Tamil Nadu. What's giving jitters to the BJP's rivals is the fact that the party has aligned with other parties and individuals with influence in powerful caste groups. PMK, for instance, represents Vanyars, who constitute around a fourth of the state's population and dominate politics in northern Tamil Nadu. PMK is a BJP partner. EMMK is TTV Dinakaran and former CM O. Paneerselvam or OPS, both BJP allies, are influential leaders of Tevars, who are concentrated in southern districts. Nadars wield considerable influence in some southern districts. Gounders, Annamalai's community, are concentrated in western Tamil Nadu. Dalits constitute around one-fifth of the population, and the BJP has attempted outreach to them by projecting Murugan. Murugan is contesting from Nilgiris. It is this social engineering by the BJP which is giving jitters to its rivals. Not in the context of the ongoing polls, but about its long-term prospects. In Kerala, the BJP has been seeking to Syrian Christians of late, but it has always tried to court two other major communities, upper caste Nayars and OBC Edavars. Look at the two big faces promoted by the BJP in Kerala today. State BJP President K. Surendran and Union Minister V. Muralidharan. Both are error words. Let's look at the last four state BJP presidents there. Muralidharan, 2010 to 2015. Erava, a Union Minister now. K. Rajasekaran, 2015 to 18, a Nayar, he's an ex-governor of Mizoram. Then 2018 to 19, P.S. Sridharan Pillai, again a Nayar, governor of Goa since 2021. And Surendran, who became state BJP president in 2020, he's an Erava. According to national election surveys conducted by the CSDS in Kerala between 2006 and 2019, there has been consistent growth in the BJP's Nair and Erava support base in the past decade. So that was a detailed explanation of what I call the second factor hampering the BJP's growth in Tamil Nadu and Kerala, and how the BJP is trying to address it through social engineering. It's not just about Hindutva or Prime Minister Modi. The third factor is the BJP's projection by its political rivals as a North Indian Hindu Hindi party that is bent on imposing its writ on southern states in terms of language, that's Hindi language, ideology, that's Hindutva, as synonymous with Brahminical and as opposed to principles of social justice and culture. The possibility of southern states losing their voice after the delimitation of constituencies to the BJP's advantage often figures in public conversations. Governors in these states have only fed into their narrative, into this narrative, but frequent interferences in the functioning of elected governments. The fourth impediment is the portrayal of the BJP by its political and ideological adversaries as an anti-minority party. This works adversely in a state like Kerala, where Muslims and Christians constitute about 45% of the population, and even Tamil Nadu, where both Dravidian parties compete for the 12% minority vote. These parties are confident that a Dravidian model of social justice would prevent any polarization along religious lines. The fifth factor arising out of the fourth is the BJP's ostensible view that its political and ideological pursuits in other states would not impact its standing in South India. The party's mishandling of the Manipur situation often crops up in conversations in Tamil Nadu and Kerala. A Hindustan College of Arts and Science student told me, if Annamalai becomes the chief minister, Manipur will happen here also. I mean, I was curious, how come you are talking about Manipur when I am asking about Annamalai here in Coimbatore? His reply was rather curt. Do you think I am uneducated? I don't know what's happening at other places. And that was his response. The sixth obstacle in the BJP's path is the absence of a strong leadership in these states. While Annamalai has emerged as a powerful voice of the BJP in Tamil Nadu, there are no other leaders on the horizon who can take its messages down to the grassroots, especially when it does not have much of a cadre base. Last but not the least, BJP's political adversaries in the south, even the Congress, are much more organized and alive in their response to hot button issues. Unlike in the north, they set the agenda of public discourse. The BJP is banking on Prime Minister Narendra Modi's popularity, his OBC credentials, and his image as a development man to overcome these seven challenges in Tamil Nadu and Kerala. It has also worked assiduously to change its image, as I said, as a Brahmin North Indian party. With Modi leading the charge, the BJP charge, the party can hope the 2024 Lok Sabha election to be a turning point in its southern pursuits. There are, however, many ifs which are beyond the party's control.